An amazing discovery in Israel. An Israeli archaeologist says that he has found the legendary citadel captured by King David in his conquest of Jerusalem, rekindling a long-standing debate about using the Bible as a field guide to identifying ancient ruins. It's an incredible story. In a moment, one just as incredible, Göbekli Tepe in Turkey, 12,000 years old. We'll be talking with Andrew Collins about his work in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Andrew Collins with us. Andrew, of course, has been investigating the idea of an advanced civilization existing before recorded history for a long time. He focuses on Southeast Turkey since the early 1990s, co-discoverer of a massive cave complex beneath the Giza Plateau, known as the Collins Cave. He's also the author of From the Ashes of Angels, Gods of Eden, The Cygnus Mystery, and Gateway to Atlantis. He was last on with us about 4.5 years ago. Andrew, long time. Welcome back.
George, hi. Great to be with you.
Looking forward to this. In Turkey, are you familiar at all with a small town called Mardin, Turkey?
Yeah, I know Mardin, yeah.
My parents' parents had come from there.
Oh, that's good.
A long time ago. In this Göbekli Tepe discovery of really just a few years ago has taken a lot of people by storm now. Tell me about your thoughts of that area.
Well, this is virtually the smoking gun of your lost civilization. If you can imagine Stonehenge in England, if you can multiply that by 20 times, cover the stones in beautiful carvings of animals and other mysterious things, then transpose that onto a mountaintop in southeast Turkey, then cover it over in earth, which is what happened around 10,000 years ago. That's what the archaeologists now are uncovering. And they've only basically uncovered about one-tenth of it so far. They've been working at it for 15 years. But what they have here is something quite extraordinary, something which is 12,000 years old and cannot be disputed. I mean, there are many other beautiful ancient sacred places around the world that people suggest could be that age. However, this is the one where we have radiocarbon evidence. We can compare the tools that are found there, and there is absolutely no doubt that this was constructed at the end of the last ice age.
Describe what it looks like, Andrew.
Well, it's a series of stone circles, but instead of these stones being plain, they're covered in beautiful images of animals, everything from snakes to boars to different types of birds, vultures, wading birds, flightless birds. There's possibly even the dodo there, which has obviously been extinct for hundreds of years. There is animals like bulls, there's goats, and there's scary-looking animals as well. There's insects, there's ants, there's scorpions. There's about four main stone circles that they've uncovered, and there are at least 10 to 15 smaller structures around it, and this covers an area of several soccer fields in size. It's probably about 300 by 200 yards in size, and it's like this huge earthen belly. And they're digging into it right now and trying to make sense of exactly what's here.
Do they keep finding newer things out there, Andrew?
They do. I mean, there's a German group working there now. They've been there for the last 15 years since its discovery. And they're uncovering new of these enclosures. These enclosures are quite extraordinary because it seems as if they may actually be aligned to the stars. What I found is that they seem to be directed to the Milky Way, towards a particular constellation called Cygnus, the Northern Cross.
Huh.
And this is placed specifically on the Milky Way at a place that's been seen as an entrance and exit to the sky world, possibly for 20,000, possibly even 30,000 years, going right the way back to the Paleolithic Age, to the time of the last ice age. This is where the shamans believe that they went to within their altered states of consciousness. This Cygnus, the celestial bird, which is also seen as the swan in many countries. but is also seen as other types of birds, raptors, eagles, even the vulture in this area of Turkey on the Euphrates River. These were all symbols of the soul, that the manner that the soul could be transported from one world to the next. It was also the location where they believed that the souls came from before birth and returned to in death. And it seems as though this is one of the reasons why Göbekli Tepe is directed north towards the Milky Way and the Cygnus constellation.
Is there any evidence that the people of that time period lived there, Andrew?
There is absolutely no evidence whatsoever. No, it seems as if this was purely a sacred place where people would come to construct these stone circles, which were being constructed over a period of around 1,500 years. There was probably anything like a few hundred people working there at any one time, plus there were the shamans, the priests, who would obviously be operating here, plus at certain times there would be pilgrims, presumably, coming here for feast dates and festivals, probably from an extremely wide area, you know, many hundreds of miles coming here at certain times. But that's it. Nobody actually lived here. Those that lived here would seem to have been in villages at the base of this mountain. I think this is important to point out, that this is on a bare limestone mountain. There is absolutely nothing up there. There was no water, no animals, nothing. Everything had to be brought to this location.
I'm looking at the cover of your book, Göbekli Tepe, Genesis of the Gods, and there are two pillars. How high are those pillars?
The pillars you're looking at the moment are 18 and a half feet tall. And in a local quarry, they've actually discovered one that was not actually removed from the bedrock. Obviously, they were preparing it, but it broke or something. And that's 7 meters, which is about 22 and a half feet in length, and is believed to be around 50 tons in weight, which is absolutely extraordinary. That's the type of size and weight that these people were dealing. And you've got to remember that this is a time before agriculture. It's a time before animal domestication. So the people that were constructing this, in theory, were hunter-gatherers.
Yeah.
They were the people who lived in this region that came together for a reason, an unprecedented reason, to construct the first megalithic, that big stone, great stone architecture anywhere in the world. Now, why did they do this? Why would they want to give up their free life as hunters, where all they needed to do was provide for their family, you know, meat and their immediate social group? Why would they do this to create these incredible monuments? There had to be something that was going on
reason.
In their world.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the pillars, as you said, 18 feet tall, were they completely buried before they found the structure?
Absolutely, yeah. They were buried within this mound, this belly-shaped mound. Göbekli Tepe means the hill of the navel, or the swollen, pregnant belly, basically. And I think that there's a clue here as to what's going on, because these stone circles were almost seen as womb chambers. They were seen as places where the shaman would go into, and it was believed that they would go back to the cosmic womb that was in the stars itself, because these people, I believe, considered themselves to have come from the stars originally and would return to the stars in death. This was not necessarily a physical thing. It was obviously an astral or psychic thing that they considered to take place. But this was one of the reasons for its construction. But the other, I think, was far more important, because in the millennia immediately preceding the construction of Göbekli Tepe, which probably began around 9,500 BC, there had been a massive cataclysm in the world. Science now tells us that there was a comet impact, a comet that came into the Earth's atmosphere, that began to break up into hundreds of thousands of pieces, that rained down
all over the place,
destroying large areas of the planet, mostly on the North American continent.
It's like a shotgun effect, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it was like. And we know that this that this affected the area around Göbekli Tepe as well, because at another site within 50 miles to 100, between 50 and 100 miles from Göbekli Tepe, they found the evidence of the charcoal buildup within the soil from this exact period, which was around 10,900 BC, but there were aftershocks and other events that went on for several hundred years afterwards, which, to be honest, tells us that this was a terrible time, that something very, very bad was going on, you know, both on the earth and in the skies. It's something that hundreds of different catastrophe myths recalled around the world. And of course, it's there within the Bible itself. You know, the story of Noah's flood, the time of darkness, which some accounts talk about occurring after this fire rained down from the skies and almost destroyed the human race. And then there was a flood that obviously destroyed other, you know, human beings. And then, you know, there was some kind of renewal, you know, Adam and Eve or Noah and his children, or, you know, different accounts of people surviving this. This is what also occurred within the Middle East at this time. And it was during this time frame that Göbekli Tepe was constructed. In a way, it's almost like a Noah's Ark in stone.
Did they cover it intentionally, or was it weathered and it got covered that way?
It was deliberately covered, but it wasn't covered all at the same time. It was covered very gradually over a period of 1,500 years. What they would do is they would have one of these stone circles, which, by the way, the most impressive, the most sophisticated, the most technologically advanced were constructed at the beginning of its history, and gradually they got more and more simplified as the time went on. But they would use one or more of these stone circles, and then they would close them down. They would decommission them, desacralize them, kill them, if you like, and then they would build another one by its side, or they would cover up the old one and build on top of that. That's what they would seem to have been doing. So in other words, it was almost as if each of these stone circles had like a half-life that would last maybe, I don't know, 100 years, maybe 150 years, and then they would build a new one and use that. Very much like the Mayan temples. They obviously were constructed one on top of the other. Something similar was going on at Göbekli Tepe. But what we can say is that the end, which was around 8,000 BC, when the people would seem to have given up and gone home, as it were, they covered every remaining temple and just walked away, leaving behind this belly-shaped hill, which eventually gained the name Göbekli Tepe.
We're going to get into some alien connections and possible UFOs here in a moment, Andrew, but what do you think the true purpose of this area?
I think the reason is that they wanted to create something which would appease what they considered to be the supernatural forces that caused cataclysms. I believe that these people were in fear of another cataclysm. They believed that another comet impact would take place, and they had to appease these supernatural creatures, which they saw, I think, in terms of a sky wolf or a sky fox. That seems to be the implication. The fox and the wolf are two of the key animals that are represented on the stones. They're the big stones that you were talking about, these huge, large portal stones in the center of the stone circles. They seem to have acted as gateways, portals to the other world. The people would actually, shamans would stand between those and quite literally project themselves towards the stars, where they believed that they could counter the mischief of these cosmic tricksters.
Dramatic, isn't it?
I mean, it's quite extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, and I think that this is why these people came together to create these. You know, they believed they had to try and control these supernatural forces that they believed existed amongst the stars. It's something that the shamans, they believed, could do. And I think they felt that the only way they could do it was to construct these monuments for the first time. a number of the creation myths tell us that after this, that the time of fire raining down from the sky, the time of darkness, the time of these floods, that afterwards humanity got together to build the first temples. And this, I think, is the perfect example. But I don't believe that Göbekli Tepe was the only temple being constructed at this time. I think almost certainly there were others being constructed around the world as a response to this terrible thing that was going on in the world. People were suffering from what visionary writer Barbara Han Clow referred to as catastrophobia, the fear of cataclysm. And I think that this is an extraordinary term which I use in the book, because I think it absolutely sums up the way people feared. I mean, if you can imagine, obviously, after the Second World War, after the first atomic bomb, people feared that this was going to occur again, which is obviously what brought about the whole Cold War and the sense that, you know, we could have another nuclear war. Well, this is what was happening at the time of Göbekli Tepe. But, of course, this was lasting for hundreds, if not thousands of years afterwards, this fear that the world could almost be destroyed again, that darkness would reign once more, and that this time the sun would never return.
When how many people do you think helped contribute to building this? If you had
well, it
to
must
ask...
have been, it, sorry, it must have probably was many hundreds, if not thousands of people. And we're talking, as I said, about hunter-gatherers, and hunter-gatherers, in theory, do not come together in groups like this. Clearly, there must have been some kind of ruling elite, some kind of group that came in and took over the show. And what I've tried to do in the book is establish who these people were. And all the evidence from the different types of tools and that have been found, implements that have been found on the site, is that they were coming in from Europe. And I've been able to trace their route all the way into the area of the Russian steppes and beyond that into the Carpathian Mountains. And a particular group, which the listeners will probably not have heard the name, but people known as the Swiderians, they were a hunter-gatherer a group. They were reindeer hunters, but they were the first miners. They were mining different types of exotic flints and other types of material across Eastern and Central Europe. And they were the an incredible group who I found evidence could well have included amongst their elites human hybrids between Neanderthals and the earliest modern humans, the Homo sapiens, existing at this time. And I found evidence that these people that possibly were behind the construction of Göbekli Tepe were extremely tall, with long heads, strong jaws, strong cheekbones, possibly with protruding eyebrows, and that they were very, very striking-looking people. And that this could well be the reason why I think that they have been remembered as the founders of civilization in various different myths and legends that came out of this area in the past that contributed to the Book of Genesis and to Sumerian tradition.
That's
to talk about the Shining Ones, the gods, these tall beings that of striking appearance, called the Watchers, the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, because I believe that they were actually human hybrids that probably came down into the region of southeast Turkey from Europe.
All right, hold on, Andrew. We're going to talk more about this. We'll get into the Anunnaki, the Sumerians. Was this indeed the Garden of Eden? So much more to talk about in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, I told you this would be an amazing story. Andrew Collins with us, and much more to talk with him about when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Andrew Collins with us. We're talking about his book, Göbekli Tepe, Genesis of the Gods. It's an amazing story. Might have this been the area of Garden of Eden? I always thought it might have been Iraq. What do you think, Andrew?
George, no, it's definitely in this area. I mean, the first source that we go to for the story of the Garden of Eden is obviously the Bible itself and the book of Genesis. And what that tells us is that the terrestrial paradise, the Garden of Eden itself, was where the four rivers of paradise took their source. Now, two of those rivers are easily identified as the Euphrates and the Tigris. Both of those flow through Iraq, which was obviously the location that you mentioned there. However, the other two rivers can be identified as the Artsis, which flows east from southeast Turkey into the Caspian Sea, which is in Iran. And the fourth one, there's a contention of there, but there is good evidence that it's been the Great Zab River, which actually flows into the Tigris, and that also rises in southeast Turkey. So with the other two rising in the same region, we can say pretty certainly that the Garden of Eden was somewhere in southeast Turkey, somewhere around the mountains, which are known as the Eastern Taurus Range, or just a little north of there, the so-called Armenian Highlands. This is the area we should be looking at. And that's the area that I began to focus many, many years ago for a book called From the Ashes of Angels. And I pinned it down to the area just to the west of this huge inland sea called Lake Van. I had the commission to do this book from Inner Traditions, and I was about to start it. And I had this really powerful dream. I dreamt that I was in this Armenian church, and these monks were doing this ceremony with an object which they were raising into the air, like a small piece of wood. And it was within a monastery, and it was extremely powerful. I could hear the chanting. I could hear everything. And I came out of this dream knowing that that there was a part of this story completely missing, and that somewhere in this area was a monastery where they actually believed that this was the true site of the Garden of Eden. And in the second half of the book, it's basically me going in search of this monastery, which I eventually found. Unfortunately, the monks were killed, and the whole place was ruined in 1915 at the time of the Armenian genocide. But I actually find this monastery, and this monastery actually had what they believed was a piece of the Tree of Life, the original Tree of Life,
the original one
that stood in the Garden of Eden, or at least the terrestrial version of it, at least. And they had this relic from at least the 3rd century AD, and that this monastery became so important that when the Arab armies came through here in the 7th century, the Prophet Muhammad himself issued this edict to give special protection to this monastery, that it should not be harmed or damaged in any way by, you know, the invading armies. And that's how powerful it was. And yet this place has been completely forgotten. But the monks here believed that they were actually located within the Garden of Eden itself. And this was quite an extraordinary discovery. And I finally managed to get out there in September 2012 and actually stand on the spot. And that there is a lot of the ruins there. You know, they go for a distance about 70 yards. And it's an incredible place. One of the actual sources of the River Euphrates is at the spot. There was a tree there which was believed to have stood since the time of Christ, underneath which this piece of the Tree of Life was supposedly found. And, you know, this tree was revered as one of the most sacred places in the whole of Eastern Turkey. And it's quite an extraordinary story. And it all began with this really simple dream.
Tell me a little bit about the tie-in between the Watchers and the Book of Enoch.
Well, the Watchers are the human, very human-like angels of the Book of Enoch. The Book of Enoch is probably one of the strangest, mysterious religious texts ever written. It talks about these angels called watchers descending from heaven amongst mortal kind and taking wives, and those wives producing offspring, which are referred to as the Nephilim. And it's also stated that the watchers reveal to their wives the rudiments of civilization, everything from metallurgy to knowledge of the stars, the building construction, to to all the different firsts for humanity, which we know took place in the area of southeast Turkey, the area of Göbekli Tepe, which, by the way, is a matter of about 150 miles away from the very source of these four rivers of paradise, which, as far as the world is concerned, is extremely close. And even the German archaeologists working on Göbekli Tepe has linked the site with the whole story of the Garden of Eden, suggesting that this was one of the foundation points of civilization as referenced within the Book of Enoch. Within the Book of Genesis, and related to the story of the watchers in the Book of Enoch. And the watchers are described as extremely tall, very pale-looking. They have faces that are like vipers, like snakes, which I take to be a reference to them being extremely long, long-headed individuals. And I believe that these were actual human beings, probably born on Earth, but the evidence now suggests that they were a striking-looking ruling elite that entered this region probably around 10,000 to 10,500 BC from the north, after this cataclysm had taken place, and that they were the ones that brought together the local hunter-gatherers that existed at this time to create Göbekli Tepe, and Göbekli Tepe became the foundation point of this revolution in new technologies and ideas that led to the rise of civilization. So the founders of Göbekli Tepe, who are represented by the different stones themselves within the stone circles, which clearly have anthropomorphic, human-like form. They have arms on their side. They have T-shaped tops to them. They look like the tops of nails, they have these T-shaped capitals or tops to them, terminations. They clearly represent human beings who seem to be covered in these animal carvings. I think that what those stones at Göbekli Tepe actually represent is the ruling elite and their ancestors, and that these were the watchers of the Book of Enoch. And there are actually myths and legends that talk about the watchers actually having existed and lived in this area of southeast Turkey. So to me, the whole thing ties together. Eden, the terrestrial paradise, was the place that was guarded by the angels, the watchers of the Book of Enoch. And what this is a reference to is the builders of Göbekli Tepe, and they themselves almost certainly were these very strange, tall, striking-looking human hybrids who came into the area and took over the show, having entered the region probably from the Caucasus or the Russian steppes to the north, coming originally from Eastern and Central Europe.
Now, with this tie-in, let's talk a little bit about ETs, UFOs. What are the possibilities that this region was built for them?
Well, it's an interesting thing, because we've got two areas here. Firstly, I believe that the builders of Göbekli Tepe were also the Anunnaki of Sumerian tradition, who we know are described as extremely striking, as creating the human race, as creating the first human cities. So we can associate them directly and immediately with Göbekli Tepe. But I think that they were human beings that existed in this region. That's what the earliest Sumerian records suggest. And even the archaeologists that are working on Göbekli Tepe now writing and suggesting that the Anunnaki may have been the actual builders there. So there's even the archaeologists are making this link. But coming on to UFOs and aliens, what's interesting is that this very area of southeast Turkey is renowned for its UFO reports. In the mountains where Göbekli Tepe is constructed, which are known as the Anti-Taurus Range, which are very close to the city of Urfa, which was known in the Bible as Edessa, there is many UFO reports. And I've written elsewhere that I believe that there's a relationship between the fact that Göbekli Tepe was constructed here and the proliferation of UFOs in this region. It's almost as if there's some kind of relationship going on. But of course, obviously, as to what UFOs are, that's a debate that we might be able to go into here.
Sure.
But the relationship is there, no question. And some of the carved art at Göbekli Tepe is so alien-looking that it could have been carved by aliens. I mean, for instance, there is a totem pole made of stone that shows these very, very strange carved figures on it, and serpents crawling up the side, which is unlike any human art anywhere in the world. It's quite extraordinary. And you look at this and you think, whoever constructed this, you know, that they had an alien mind, whatever, and who knows? They may have even been in touch with aliens themselves. Who knows?
Assuming ETs may have participated in this for one reason or another, and the humans participated too, is it a power source? Was it a landing spot? What do you think it was?
I think looking at it on a physical level, maybe you know, something which needs to be thought very carefully about. But I think what's more likely is that The twin pillars at the center of the stone circles there, the enclosures as they're called, they unquestionably are stargates. You know, they are portals that allow the shaman access from this world to the other world. Now, that other world, they believed, was among the stars. They believed that by attaining altered states of consciousness, they could project themselves, presumably in an astral form, to the stars, to a sky world that existed, and that they could communicate with celestial beings, as well as obviously ancestral spirits and these power animals, these supernatural creatures that they believed existed in the sky. Now, who's not to say that those communications might not be of an extraterrestrial origin, and that this extraterrestrial knowledge might have been brought back by these shamans and given to the communities in which they lived, and that this knowledge helped the rise of civilization. To me, that I can work with that idea. That to me makes a lot of sense.
What happened to the civilizations, Andrew? Where'd they go?
Well, I mean, the term civilization is an interesting one, because we talk in terms of our civilization and a lost civilization that might have existed at the time of the Ice Age. But I don't see this necessarily in terms of like an Atlantis, something that existed in the middle of an island with huge great cities and that. I see it as different cultures flowering at different times that developed this most incredible advanced technologies that they may have used for a while, and then it gets lost again and is rediscovered and reinvented. And this is what Göbekli Tepe is. If you look at the advanced technology, the sophistication of the monuments, it's unlike anything that existed for another 5,000 years. It's out of place completely. If you try and compare what's happening here to anywhere else in the world, something different was going on here. The mindset of these people was completely in advance of anything else in the world. So, are they a lost civilization? The idea is very appealing, and I think that we've got to look at the possibility that this is correct, George. I do actually believe that.
Yeah, I do too. Amazing discovery. Is it possible? It's much older than 12,000 years.
Well, interestingly enough, the archaeologists there believe that they're going to find even older material. But what they consider is that there's some kind of evolution, that the structures we see today are the end product of something that was gradually evolving over a period of 1,000 years. I don't think so at all. And I know my colleague Graham Hancock, who I went with to Göbekli Tepe last year with, we don't believe this. We believe that the most sophisticated monuments are the oldest ones, because it's knowledge that has come from a previous civilization that existed at the time of the Ice Age. Now, whether you can call that Atlantis or whether it is something that flowered on its own in this area of southeast Turkey, who knows? But this is your smoking gun for a lost civilization, no question at all.
When you are there, Andrew, do you feel differently? Do you feel anything?
Well, we talk about aliens, and you can only think of aliens when you're there. I mean, you go there, you look at the art, and you think, this is different to everything I have ever seen in my life. I want to get into the mindset of these people. I want to know what they thought. I want to know what motivated them to create somewhere like this. Because this is unlike Stonehenge. This is unlike the Great Pyramid or Tiwanaku in South America. This is something completely different. And it was constructed between 10 to 12,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about this.
Does it seem more advanced than the Great Pyramids?
In some strange ways, yes. But I think what's important is that the Great Pyramid was constructed 7,000 years. That's an incredible 7,000 years, George, after Göbekli Tepe. So if you can imagine, we have this advanced technology in 9,500 BC. Another 7,000 years, there's plenty of time to develop more ideas, so that eventually it culminates with the Great Pyramid. So that's an easy way of looking at it. I mean, obviously, some people might suggest that the Great Pyramid and obviously the Sphinx are much older than what the Egyptologists tell us, and that could well be true. However, that speculation, there is no speculation with Göbekli Tepe. We have the radiocarbon evidence. We can compare the tools that are discovered within these stone circles, and there is no doubt on the age. This was constructed at the tail end of the last ice age, possibly even within 100 years of the end of the last ice age. Suddenly, it got warmer, and the people came together and constructed it.
Would you call it probably one of the most fascinating areas on this planet?
Yeah, and the thing is that I'd already pinpointed this area as a place where something special had taken place, that some kind of trigger at the beginning of civilization within from the ashes of angels as far back as 1996. You know, I said that we need to look at this area because something important happened here, but there was no smoking gun at that time. Now we have the smoking gun. It's Göbekli Tepe. Plus, we also have science telling us that this cataclysm, which myself and Graham Hancock and many of my colleagues wrote about in the 90s, now we know that that occurred. We've all been proved correct. You know, that the ancient mystery writers were not wrong. You know, and now we're being proved correct.
Exactly. Andrew, we're going to come back. We're going to take phone calls with you. Final hour just ahead on Coast to Coast AM.